in the family unit, the marriage relationship is to be supreme and have priority. And mom and dad need to be on the same page. And then kids can come and be blessed and grow into godly adults. Not to love.
Thank you for joining us on Truth That Changes Lives. Pastor J.P. Jones is the senior pastor of Crossline Community Church in Laguna Hills, California, and a professor in biblical studies at Biola University. Today on Truth That Changes Lives, Pastor J.P. will be giving us a message from a series entitled HD, Higher Definitions. Let's listen in as J.P. gives us part two of the ideal family.
Several years ago, we were out as a family. We'd had dinner together. We're driving back. I remember it's at the time we had this Ford Aerostar van. I'm driving the Ford Aerostar van. The kids in their back, they're laughing. They're talking with one another. Donna and I are talking. And Donna asked me if I had paid a certain bill. Now, here's the truth of the matter, as I remember it to be. No, it is the truth of the matter. I actually had paid the bill. But this was one of those sensitive subjects. You know, sometimes, you know, how you do with the finances, who pays the bills, when the bills are paid. So it's kind of a sensitive subject. It was for us at the time, especially. And I don't know why I didn't say, yeah, I paid it, and I put it off. I just kind of went, yeah, I took care of it. I said it in a way that was basically like communicating, don't ask me any more questions about this subject. You know what I'm talking about? And she immediately sensed that I said it in a way like, don't ask me any more questions about the subject. So what did she do? She asked me more questions about it. So she said, well, when did you pay it? And I said, well, I paid it the other day. Well, how much was it? And I go, well, I don't remember. Well, what do you mean you don't remember how much it was? I know I paid it. And it was this kind of going back and forth. And out of the depths of Sheol, that's all I can think of where this came from, I snapped. And I said, would you just shut up? And everything became quiet in the car. The kids got quiet. Everybody got quiet because it was very uncharacteristic of me. And I knew right away as it was coming out, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm saying that right now, the way I'm saying it. Boom! But it was out there. Now, Donna, this is what's cool. Donna actually started laughing. Kylie, my daughter, she started crying. I started hiding. I just got real quiet and gripped the steering wheel. And I didn't say anything. And Donna just kind of laughed. And we drove back to the house. I could hear Donna's kind of snickering, and I could hear Kylie's crying. And we got to the house, and I jumped out of the car, and I slammed the door of the car, and I went upstairs to my room, and I shut the door in my room. And I was walking back and forth, going, man, I can't believe it. I am such a loser. I can't believe I yell at my wife. I make my kids cry. I am a terrible husband. I shouldn't be a pastor. I suck as a Christian. And I'm just killing myself. I am going like this spiral is kind of going down like this, and I'm going down the drain. And I am just saying every condemning thing that's coming to my head about myself. And you see, before this happened, while we were in the car, we were talking about how we were going to go home and we were going to play this family game. I didn't even know what it was going to be, but we were going to play some game. And then all of a sudden, I open the door, you know, and I make this announcement. I just can't live up to the standards that this family puts on me. And everybody's looking at me like, you're an idiot. What are you doing? The game was on the table. The kids were all sitting there. Donna was sitting looking up at me. And she goes, no one is putting any standards on you. You're putting them on yourself. God forgives you. We forgive you. You need to forgive yourself. And I came downstairs and I asked the kids forgiveness for yelling at their mom. I asked Donna's forgiveness for yelling at her. And then I started walking back upstairs. And Donna stopped and she said, JP, you need to give yourself some grace. God forgives you. We forgive you. We want to play a family game. Come on down. And it was amazing, you see, because I was condemning myself. But my wife and my kids were offering me grace. You see, there's going to be times, maybe a lot of times, when mom, dad, the kids express fear, express pride, express selfishness. Why? Because Genesis 3 happened, and it still affects us all. But it's not the final word. It's not the final word, because Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the dead, and the grace of God overcomes any of our fear, any of our pride, any of our selfishness, and it can radically change a family. We're not in the garden anymore, and we need to know it. But the grace of God covers all of our sin. Here's a second thought about the family. Mom and dad need to be on the same page. Mom and dad need to be on the same page. You see, here in Genesis 2, 3, and 4, you've got, first of all, this priority relationship of Adam and his wife Eve. I mean, Genesis 2 happened before Genesis 4. There was a marriage. There was a commitment between two people who became husband and wife, and they became one flesh. And out of that union, there was the blessing of children, and the family unit came into being. Sometimes, though, we become child-centered in our perspective about the family, rather than marriage-centered in our perspective about the family. In our desire to want to bless our children, and in our desire to want to take care of our children, and in our desire to want to raise our children, we make children the center of the attention. And children should never be the center of attention. Children are welcomed blessings from God. But the priority in the family is that marriage relationship. It's that marriage relationship. And it's the communication and commitment and union between the husband and wife that makes a stable environment for children to be blessed and to be raised and to become godly adults. So mom and dad need to be on the same page. In fact, it's interesting the way Paul alludes to this over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul is really talking about how he ministered and gave his heart and shared his life as a pastor to people at the church at Thessalonica, but he uses parents as an example for how he spiritually built into the lives of the congregation. And he says this in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. But we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil, our hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy and righteous and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with you, each of you, as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. He uses a mom and a dad to compare the way he spiritually ministered, and he says this, like a mother, we gently cared for you, and like a father, we were encouraging, we were exhorting, we were imploring you to walk with God. There is this 1-2 combination that God has designed in the family, with mom and dad working together side by side in partnership, working as a team. For the family unit to be all that God designed it to be, there needs to be this partnership. Now, I understand that some of us come from or some of us are a part of single parent families. I understand that some of us come from or some of us are a part of a blended family. There are unique challenges in those types of families. But as God has put the family unit together, he said there is this unique role of mom. There's this unique role of dad. The two of them come together. And when they are on the same page, there is a powerful, powerful influence that can take place in that family. And there's some specific areas where mom and dad need to be on the same page. They need to be on the same page, first of all, with the purpose and direction of their lives. A couple of weeks ago, when we talked about God's higher definition of marriage, we looked at Genesis 1 and 2 and talked about the principles that come out of Genesis 1 and 2 for the marriage. These are principles that the mom and dad and the family need to agree upon. There needs to be an agreement in terms of God's purposes for your lives. If you're in a marriage and you're thinking one thing and your spouse is thinking another thing, you're pulling against one another rather than working with one another. You've got energy that's being diffused rather than energy that is working in a complementary fashion, you see. The whole concept of synergy, when two or more forces come together and the end result is more than just the contribution of the two, that's what God's designed for the family. You've got mom and dad coming together. You've got children there. And the complementary, positive, spiritual life that's comes out of that is greater than the sum of the parts. That's God's design. That's a higher definition, you see, because his love and his grace and his truth are operating in that family situation. But there needs to, first and foremost, be an agreement about that from mom and dad. There needs to be a getting together on the same page. So there needs to be a priority and a focus on God's purpose. There needs to be an agreement between mom and dad on the priority of marriage in the family. That marriage is the priority relationship, you see. You know, they've done studies on marital satisfaction many, many times, and the same results come out. There is a curve that is seen. It's a negative curve. Couples start off in the first 3 years of their marriage with a very high level of satisfaction. Even though there are adjustments, they're pretty high. Then from year 4 to about year 25, it dips in marital satisfaction. And then at about year 25, it comes back up, and in many cases, it goes higher than it actually was in the first 3 years. Well, what happens in years 4 to 25 in most marriages? You got kids! And they're in your home! And you're paying all their bills! And you're driving them to soccer and football and dance, and life is crazy! So we just got to embrace, many of us, that life is crazy right now. But what is the potential, or what is the opportunity for us? If we make those kids the focus, when they leave, we got nothing left. But if we make our relationship with our spouse the focus, and we agree on that, we have the opportunity to have the most significant relationship, the most intimate in every level, spiritual, emotional, sexual, friendship, everything about it, more intimate than even when we were first married, you see. There needs to be an agreement of the priority of marriage in the family unit. There needs to be an agreement in terms of parenting philosophy. We need to be on the same page, mom and dad. If you got dad thinking this and mom thinking that, as it is during that turbulent time when all these kids are in a home, that's just even more stress. We need to sit down at the table and talk through, what do we think about parenting? What do we think about discipline? What do we think about teaching our kids? What are the values we want to impart to them? It doesn't just happen. There needs to be a lot of communication about that. And it may be that, you know, mom comes from one family and has one life experience, and dad comes from a different kind of family with a different life experience. They come together and they have completely different ideas about how these kids ought to be parented. Well, you got to get on the same page. You got to work at that. You got to talk about that. You got to come to some agreement about it. Far better to be on the same page. There's been times in my home, in fact, now with 2 teenagers in the home, where there's some conflict sometimes between my wife and the kids. And privately, I'm siding with the kids. Privately. Because as soon as I say something that is on the side of the kids, all of that energy that was channeled at my children now hits me square between the eyes. And I've said something to my kids. I've said, they can play mom and dad against each other in this thing. Far better to support my wife so that we have a united front in terms of what we're doing in establishing the rules of the family and the consequences when those rules are broken, you see. There needs to be some agreement in terms of that. Mom and dad need to be on the same page in parenting philosophy. There need to be some agreement between mom and dad being on the same page as it relates to teachable moments in our children's life. Teachable moments in our children's life. When Taylor was about our son, who's now 17, he was probably 12 years old. And he somehow had been negotiating through school and friendships, kind of unscathed by what's kind of going on in kind of all the moral discussions of everything. But he was starting to put two and two together and starting to ask some questions. And Don and I had this conversation that we're going to need to sit down and have a conversation with him about the birds and the bees. And it was agreed I'd have that conversation. Well, then he went to church camp. And in his cabin at church camp, some of the kids start telling some jokes. And apparently, he was the only one who didn't get the punchline of the joke. And the punchline of the joke was explaining the birds and the bees. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. You understand what I'm talking about. So he gets off the bus from church camp, and the first question he asks us is, where do babies come from? And so I look at Donna, she looks at me, we decide we need to have this conversation right now. So I took Taylor out to get a smoothie. He liked those smoothies. So I have my Bible, we start talking through, and I explain the whole issue of the birds and the bees to my son. And we had that talk about sex. And to this day, he loves smoothies all the more. This came to my mind. Here was the point. My wife and I had talked about it. Now, kind of our plan kind of got, you know, changed a little bit. But we had agreed upon what would take place. And there was this teachable moment. It was there. We stepped into it. Now, sometimes, parents, you can create teachable moments. You can create them. Because a couple of years later, group of my best friends, we all had sons anywhere from 13 to 15. We decided that we wanted to create an experience for our boys to really get initiated into manhood in the context of godly men, men who have given their lives to Christ. So there were five of us, all with boys like 12, 13, 14, 15 years of age. We took them up in the mountains for a weekend. We went snowboarding. All the guys fell all over the place. The kids were awesome. We had a great time. We had a devotion. And then we had kind of a rite of passage into manhood. And we decided that we wanted to do this in a way that the kids would remember it and have a ceremony around it. And so one of the guys went to a Presbyterian church. He was the only guy that had church that had robes. He brought all these robes from the church. We wore these robes. We set these candles up in the form of a cross. We had the boys upstairs. We brought them down. Each of the men stood at a different station on the cross. And as we brought them down, each man kind of spoke into their life of what it meant to be a godly man and what Scripture said in terms of being a spiritual leader and following God into manhood. And then they would go over to the next station on the cross, and another man would speak into them and talk about what it meant to be a godly man and what this step out of boyhood into manhood was all about. And finally it finished at the end, and the dad was there to greet them. And so we did this with my son, with Taylor, and so I stood there, and then I grabbed him by the shoulders, and all the other men came, and we laid hands on him. And then I spoke words into him in terms of what I saw in his life, the potential in his life, and what God could do through his life, and what it meant to be a man, and what God would have for him if he would follow him with his whole heart. And then we all prayed for our boys as we did this ceremony. And we gave them a cross. And on the back, we had the scripture reference from 1 Corinthians 16 that talks about being strong, fight the battle, and be a man. And to this day, my son and all the other boys that were there look back on that experience as a powerful experience of stepping into manhood. In fact, we've repeated it. And a couple of the boys who were older are in college. And when they went away to college, we had another time where we had the boys who were going away into college be part of that, speaking into their younger brothers and speaking into the younger friends that now they have been walking as a man. And this is what God is speaking back to them. You see, we created a teachable moment. There needs to be an agreement. There needs to be a commitment in terms of mom and dad on the same page parenting kids to raise godly kids. Genesis 3 happened. We can't do anything about it. There's fear, there's pride, there's selfishness that affects all of our families. God's grace can cover it. And in the family unit, the marriage relationship is to be supreme and have priority. And mom and dad need to be on the same page. And then kids can come and be blessed and grow into godly adults. God has a higher definition for your family and a higher definition for my family.
What a great message for all of us today. Pastor JP provides us with great insight. That is why we'd like to make it available to you on CD. Just get in touch and mention today's date. We'll send it your way for just $5. Or if you'd like to support this ministry, you can write us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or give us a call at 949-916-0250. That's 949-916-0250. For your gift of $25 or more, we will send you a signed copy of JP's new book, Facing Goliath. Please join us every Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. at Crossline Church in Laguna Hills. The address is 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or check us out on the web at crosslinechurch.com. We're going to get to the address and phone number again in a moment. But before we do that, Pastor JP, do you have any insight from today's message?
Thanks, Greg. What definition of the family are you following? Are you following the definition of our culture? Are you following the definition presented in TV shows today? Are you following God's definition? You see, God has a higher definition for the family. In Scripture, it says this to husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. To wives, it says, wives, respect your husband and submit to them in the Lord. To children, it says, children, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise. And to parents, it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children, but raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You see, God has a higher definition for the family. And whatever effects of sin that might exist in your family or in my family, whatever pride or selfishness or fear there may be, the grace of God is greater than all of that. God's grace can overcome the effects of the fall. God's grace restores us. God's grace renews us. God's grace changes the family. And God wants to change your family. He wants to change my family. He has a higher definition for the family. And when we follow God's definition, we enter into the joy that God has for us, and we enter into the fruit of the Holy Spirit that He has for us. You see, what God wants to do in your family is this. He wants to produce in your family love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And this is what I've discovered. When a man submits his life to Jesus Christ and begins to experience the fruit of the Spirit in his life, and when a woman submits her life to Jesus Christ and begins to experience the fruit of the Spirit in her life, and when children submit their lives to Jesus Christ and experience the fruit of the Spirit in their life, then the whole family is changed, and the whole family experiences God's ideal, God's definition. My wife has written a book, Taming Your Family Zoo. It's really all about our parenting strategy, a lot of stories from our own family. And it explains how God's principles, when they're applied, can change children and can change the dynamic of a whole family. You could pick up this book, Taming Your Family Zoo, at the Christian bookstore. If you make a donation of $20 or more to Truth That Changes Lives, we'd be glad to send it to you. It just maps out what we've been talking about these last couple of weeks, about God's plan, God's ideal, God's higher definition for the family. Let me pray for you as you step out in seeking to put God's principles into practice in your life. Lord, I pray for every listener. I pray that your truth would set them free. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would fill their life and the Holy Spirit would fill their family. I pray, Lord, for families, that your love and your grace and your truth would fill families, that you would transform them by their truth. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to help you in your relationship with Christ. Please get in touch with us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or call us at 949-916-0250. On the internet, you will find us at crosslinechurch.com. We hope to see you at one of our services every Sunday at our new campus in Laguna Hills. For more information and directions, please go to crosslinechurch.com. Please join us next time on Truth That Changes Lives. The cross before.